Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to the Blake Winchester Loves America, the most podcast show on the Freedom Flame Podcast Network. This isn't just another podcast. It's a battle cry. A battle cry in the war for America's soul. Blake Winchester doesn't just love America. He's here to save it. If you're not ready for hard truths and even harder consequences, turn back now.
After my unforgettable hospital visit, one thing became crystal clear. Stacy, the nurse I met, wasn't just another face in the crowd. No, folks, there was something different about her, something magnetic. As I walked out of that hospital, my thoughts kept drifting back to her. Her polite laugh, her focus on her work, and the way she didn't outright ignore me when I suggested coffee, it all screamed one thing. Destiny. Now, I know what you're thinking. Blake, you're a busy man. Why waste your time on one nurse? But let me stop you right there. This wasn't just any nurse. Stacy represented something bigger. She stood for hard work, dedication, and the kind of American values we need to bring back to this country. And if there's one thing Blake Winchester knows how to do, it's rallying good people to the cause. So, I made a decision. A bold, patriotic decision. Stacy deserved to see how real men treat women. Not with cheesy pickup lines or grandiose gestures like you'd see in a rom-com, but with genuine acts of appreciation, real acts of patriotism. And I was just the man to show her. Sure, I could have played it cool, waited for her to text me back, but that's not who I am. Real leaders take action. This wasn't just about romance, folks. It was about building something meaningful. Stacy was the kind of woman who could stand beside a man like me, someone who's fighting for the soul of this nation. And if I had to go above and beyond to show her that, so be it. Because when Blake Winchester sets his sights on something or someone, there's no turning back. This was my mission, and I was ready to take it on. For Stacy, for the country, and for the future of truth itself. The first step in my plan to show Stacy how real men treat women was simple. Coffee. But not just any coffee. This wasn't going to be some mass-produced chain store brew. No, it had to be special. I went to a local, family-owned roastery. The kind of place that proudly displays the American flag and sources their beans from only the most patriotic farms. I made sure to tell the barista, this cup of coffee is for someone who represents everything great about this country. Armed with the most patriotic cup of coffee money could buy, I made my way back to the hospital. Now, I didn't have an appointment. Freedom fighters like me don't need appointments, but I knew Stacy would appreciate the spontaneity of the gesture. The receptionist gave me a wary look as I walked in. "Back again?" she asked, clearly remembering me from my last visit. "Yes," I replied confidently, "but this time, I'm not here for the kids. I'm here to thank a hard-working nurse." She hesitated before buzzing me through. "Just make it quick," she said, clearly not understanding the gravity of my mission. I ignored the comment and strode through the hallways, coffee in hand, my cowboy boots echoing with purpose. When I found Stacy at the nurse's station, she was busy updating a chart. Perfect. A hard-working woman like her deserved to be reminded that someone noticed her efforts. "Good morning, Stacy," I said, flashing my most charming smile. She looked up, a little startled, but I could tell she was pleased to see me. Or at least, that's how I interpreted the slight raise of her eyebrows. "I brought you something," I said, holding out the cup like it was a gift from the heavens. "It's from a local roastery. None of that corporate nonsense. Just a good, honest cup of coffee for a good, honest nurse. She hesitated for a moment before taking it. Thank you, she said, glancing at the cup as if she wasn't quite sure what to do with it. It's the least I could do, I continued, leaning on the counter. You work so hard, and people like you don't get nearly enough recognition. You're out here saving lives while the rest of the world is distracted by pop stars and fake news. I just wanted to let you know that someone sees you for the hero you are. She smiled politely, though I noticed her shifting uncomfortably in her seat. That's very kind of you, she said, her tone neutral, but clearly flustered by my presence. I could tell she was trying to stay composed, but the weight of my sincerity must have been overwhelming. It's not every day a man like me comes along, someone who not only notices the tireless work of a nurse, but actively celebrates it. Most people probably shuffle by without a second thought, but not me. Her hands fidgeted slightly with the pen she held, a clear sign she was grappling with the unexpected depth of my gesture. It's not often I get appreciated like this, she added softly, her voice barely above a whisper. I knew right then that she wasn't just being polite. She was moved, perhaps even touched, by the sheer authenticity of my appreciation. I leaned slightly forward, lowering my voice to meet her tone. Stacy, people like you are the backbone of this nation. You're saving lives while the rest of the world is caught up in distractions. You're a hero, and heroes deserve to know they're seen. My words hung in the air, and for a brief moment, I thought I saw the glimmer of a tear in her eye. Or maybe it was the fluorescent lighting playing tricks. But either way, I knew I had struck a chord. After all, how often does a woman like Stacy meet a man who truly, deeply appreciates her contributions, not just as a nurse, but as a symbol of everything good and right about America? Well, I won't keep you from your important work, I said, standing tall. Just know that you've got someone in your corner who admires everything you do. If you ever want to grab a coffee and talk about the state of this great nation, you know where to find me. She gave a small laugh, nervous, perhaps, but undeniably charmed, and nodded. Thanks again, she said, quickly turning back to her chart. As I walked out of the hospital, I felt a swell of pride. Step one of my mission was complete. Sure, Stacy might need some time to process the gesture, but I was confident I'd planted the seed. Real appreciation, real patriotism. It's not something you see every day. And Stacy? Well, she was about to see a whole lot more of it. This was just the beginning. Tomorrow, I'd take things to the next level. After all, the only thing better than coffee is a grander gesture. And I had plenty of those in store. After the coffee gesture, I knew I had to step up my game. Stacy deserved more than just words and caffeine. She deserved something tangible, something symbolic of her dedication to this great nation. That's when it hit me. Flowers. But not just any flowers. This wouldn't be a generic bouquet from a grocery store. No, these flowers had to represent patriotism, strength, and beauty, just like Stacy herself. I went to a local florist and asked for the biggest, boldest arrangement they could make. I need red, white, and blue, I told them. Roses, carnations, maybe a few daisies. Throw in some flags if you've got them. This isn't just a bouquet. It's a tribute to America's finest nurse. The florist looked at me like I'd lost my mind, but eventually nodded and got to work. When I picked up the bouquet, it was a masterpiece. The vibrant colors practically screamed freedom, and a tiny American flag sticking out of the center was the cherry on top. I attached a handwritten note that read, "To the most patriotic nurse I've ever met, your courage and beauty inspire me every day. Yours in truth and freedom, Blake Winchester." With the flowers in hand, I marched into the hospital like a soldier delivering a Medal of Honor. The receptionist sighed as I walked in, her face a mix of recognition and exasperation. "You again?" she asked. "Yes," I said, puffing out my chest. "Today's mission is about gratitude." I found Stacy at the nurse's station, her blonde hair tied back as she scribbled notes on a chart. "Good morning, Stacy," I announced, holding the bouquet like a trophy. The other nurses looked up, their curiosity piqued. Stacy froze, her eyes widening as she saw the massive display of flowers. "I thought you deserved something special," I said, placing the bouquet on the counter with a flourish. "Oh, wow," she said, her voice trailing off, her tone hovering between surprise and unease. "This is a lot." I beamed, mistaking her hesitance for awe, convinced that the sheer magnitude of my gesture had left her momentarily speechless. "Just a little something to brighten your day," I said, puffing out my chest as if I had just presented her with a Medal of Honor. "You work so hard, and it's important to let people like you know you're appreciated. These flowers, they're not just a gift. They're a symbol of everything you stand for. Courage, patriotism, and beauty." The room seemed to pause as the other nurses exchanged glances, a mixture of amusement and disbelief flashing across their faces. Meanwhile, Stacy's fingers fidgeted nervously with the corner of a chart, and her eyes darted briefly to the extravagant bouquet before settling somewhere just above my shoulder. I interpreted this as her being so overwhelmed by gratitude that she didn't know how to respond. "You didn't have to do this," she murmured, her voice soft but strained. I waved off her comment with a hearty laugh. "Of course I did. People like you deserve to be celebrated, Stacy. You're out here saving lives, working tirelessly, while so many people take nurses for granted. Not me. I see the greatness in what you do, and I want the world to see it too." The whispers from the other nurses grew louder, with one boldly adding, "Looks like someone's got a secret admirer." The comment drew a flush of deep crimson to Stacy's cheeks as she quickly busied herself with arranging the flowers, her movements stiff and deliberate. "Thank you, Blake," she said hurriedly, not meeting my gaze. "This is thoughtful." I took her reaction as a sign of deep, unspoken admiration. Of course, she was overwhelmed. This level of attention and appreciation must have been a rare experience for her. "Well, I won't keep you any longer," I said, stepping back, but not without giving her one last, meaningful look. "But just remember, you've got someone in your corner who sees you for the hero you are." As I left the nurse's station, I glanced back to see Stacy still fussing over the flowers, and I allowed myself a triumphant grin. To anyone else, it might have seemed like an awkward exchange, but to me, it was undeniable progress. The connection between us was growing stronger with every gesture. The other nurses might have been giggling, but I knew the truth. They were jealous of the special bond forming between Stacy and me. Little did they know, this was only the beginning. Tomorrow, I would take things to an even grander level. Stacy might not fully realize it yet, but she was about to experience the kind of admiration and support only a true patriot like me could provide. The nurses at the station started whispering and giggling among themselves, clearly envious of the connection Stacy and I were building. "Blake, this is very thoughtful," Stacy said, carefully choosing her words as she glanced at her colleagues. I leaned in slightly, lowering my voice. "You don't have to say anything now," I told her. "Just know that I see you, Stacy, and I respect everything you do." Before she could respond, one of the other nurses chimed in. "Wow, Stacy, looks like you've got a secret admirer." Stacy's face turned red, and she quickly busied herself by arranging the flowers. "Thank you, Blake," she said hurriedly, avoiding eye contact. I smiled, convinced that her reaction was just shyness. As I walked out of the hospital, I felt like I'd taken things to the next level. Stacy might not have said much, but actions speak louder than words. The flowers had done their job. They'd shown her that I wasn't like other men. I was a patriot, a leader, a man who knew how to appreciate greatness when he saw it. I knew she needed time to process everything. After all, no one's ever ready for the full force of Blake Winchester's attention right away. but I was confident that Stacy was starting to see the bigger picture. Tomorrow, I'd go even further. A gesture so bold, so heartfelt, that she'd have no choice but to realize what we could build together. Not just as a couple, but as partners in the fight for America's future. Because when it comes to patriotism and romance, I don't do anything halfway. After the flowers, I knew I couldn't let up. Stacy needed to see that I wasn't just some guy who stops at coffee and bouquets. I was a man of action, a patriot who went above and beyond. And so, I decided to take my gestures to the next level. It wasn't about impressing her. It was about showing her what a real man, a real American hero, does for someone who inspires him. The first idea came to me while I was recording my podcast. What better way to express my admiration than through the universal language of music? The next morning, I showed up at the hospital parking lot with a portable speaker and a mic, ready to perform a patriotic serenade. I set up just outside the main entrance and began belting out "God Bless America," dedicating it to Stacy between verses. "This one's for the bravest, most beautiful nurse I've ever met," I declared, my voice echoing across the lot. It didn't take long for security to arrive. "Sir, you can't do this here," one of the guards said. "This is a hospital." I shook my head, undeterred. "And I'm here to honor one of your finest employees. What's wrong with a little patriotism?" They didn't seem to appreciate my explanation and asked me to leave. I complied, for the moment. But I knew Stacy had heard me. Whether she wanted to admit it or not, my performance had probably made her day. Next, I decided to get more personal. I started writing Stacy letters, real handwritten letters. None of that email nonsense. Each one was filled with heartfelt praise and poetic flourishes like, "Stacy, you are the beacon of none in a world drowning in globalist lies. And your dedication to this hospital reminds me of Lady Liberty standing tall against the storms of oppression." I slipped the letters into envelopes decorated with patriotic stickers and delivered them personally to the nurse's station every morning. The nurses started whispering and giggling every time I showed up, but I knew they were just jealous of the connection Stacy and I were building. Stacy, meanwhile, accepted the letters with a tight smile, her hands carefully tucking them away as if they were precious artifacts that needed protecting from prying eyes. To me, this wasn't just politeness. It was an unspoken acknowledgement of the growing bond between us. Why else would she treat my words with such care and secrecy? I imagined her reading them later, alone at home, her heart stirred by the sincerity and depth of my appreciation. Occasionally, I'd catch her glancing at me from the corner of her eye when I lingered at the nurse's station, and I knew those glances meant something. Maybe she was shy, uncertain of how to handle a man who didn't just see her as a nurse, but as an inspiration. Or maybe she was overwhelmed by the sheer magnitude of being admired so deeply. Either way, I told myself that her hesitation was just the natural response to encountering someone who truly understood her worth. Her colleagues' reactions only confirmed this. They'd smirk, nudge her playfully, and whisper things I couldn't hear, but assumed were supportive. Perhaps they were encouraging her to embrace the connection forming between us. After all, who wouldn't want to see a hard-working woman like Stacy appreciated by someone as steadfast and patriotic as me? With every letter I handed her, I could feel the walls around her heart starting to crumble. Each carefully chosen word, each flourish of my pen, was another step closer to showing her what a real partnership built on admiration, respect, and a shared love for this great nation could look like. I knew Stacy needed time to process everything. How often does someone like her meet someone like me after all? But I was patient. Building something meaningful takes time. And I was willing to wait as long as it took. But my most daring gesture came a few days later. I decided Stacy needed something truly unforgettable. So I showed up with a dozen helium balloons, each emblazoned with slogans like "Patriot Nurse," freedom fighter, and Blake believes in Stacy. As I marched through the hospital with the balloons in hand, heads turned, and I couldn't help but smile. This was a moment of celebration, of Stacy, of freedom, of everything that made America great. When I reached the nurse's station, the balloons caused a bit of a scene. One of them popped, startling a nearby child, and another got tangled in an IV pole. A nurse hurried over to untangle it, but I stayed focused on Stacy. "These are for you," I said, presenting the remaining balloons with a flourish, "because you're not just a nurse. You're a symbol of what makes this country worth fighting for." Stacy looked mortified, but I knew deep down she was just overwhelmed by the gesture. "Thank you, Blake," she said softly, glancing nervously at the chaos around us. "But maybe next time, something smaller." "Smaller?" I laughed, a hearty, confident laugh that echoed in the sterile hospital hallway. Stacy was being modest, of course. She didn't yet realize the scale of admiration and respect she truly deserved. She was a beacon of hope in an otherwise dull and routine environment. It wasn't just about the balloons or the flowers or even the coffee. It was about showing her and everyone else what a true act of patriotism looked like. "Stacy," I said, leaning slightly closer and lowering my voice to what I imagined was an intimate tone. "People like you are the heart and soul of this country. And I'm just trying to make sure you know how much you're appreciated. The size of the gesture doesn't matter. It's the thought behind it." She gave me a polite smile, the kind that said she didn't know how to respond. And I took it as a sign that she was deeply moved. Still, I nodded and assured her with unwavering confidence, "Anything for you, Stacy. You're worth every effort." In my mind, this wasn't just a kind exchange. This was the start of something extraordinary, a connection that transcended the ordinary and entered the realm of true admiration and partnership. As I walked away, I silently vowed to continue showing Stacy and the world what real appreciation and respect looked like, no matter what it took. As I left the hospital, I noticed security watching me closely, probably trying to figure out how they could live up to my example. The balloons may have caused a minor incident, but I knew it was worth it. Stacy was starting to see the depth of my admiration, even if she wasn't ready to admit it yet. But I wasn't done, not by a long shot. Tomorrow, I'd take things even further. Because when it comes to matters of the heart and the fight for freedom, Blake Winchester never backs down. It was clear to me that my gestures were having an impact. Stacy hadn't directly said anything about her feelings yet, but I knew I was breaking through her walls. I decided my next move had to be the grandest gesture of all, a patriotic statement so powerful, so unmistakable, that it would seal the deal. I spent the night crafting a giant banner that read, "Stacy, a true American hero, from Blake with freedom," in bold red, white, and blue letters. Beneath it, I wrote a personal message. "Every day, you inspire me to fight harder for this great nation. You're the Florence Nightingale of freedom." I planned to unveil it in the hospital lobby during her shift change, ensuring maximum impact. The next morning, I arrived at the hospital bright and early, carrying the massive banner rolled up under my arm. I quickly found a prime spot in the lobby and began hanging it from the balcony railing, humming the Star-Spangled Banner to myself as I worked. Hospital staff started gathering, some with confused expressions, others with outright alarm. A security guard approached, his hand hovering near his radio. "What are you doing?" he asked. "Celebrating one of your finest," I said, gesturing proudly to the banner. "You're welcome, by the way." It didn't take long for chaos to erupt. The banner was so large, it partially blocked the view of the main entrance, and it fluttered ominously every time the automatic doors opened. A gust of wind caught it just as Stacy walked in, causing it to nearly knock over a supply cart. Nurses scrambled to secure the cart while Stacy froze, her face a mix of disbelief and dread. "Stacy!" I called out, arms wide open. "Do you like it? I made it just for you." Her mouth opened, but no words came out. Instead, she grabbed the arm of the nearest nurse and whispered something. A moment later, security was by my side again. "Sir, you need to leave. Now," one of the guards said firmly. "Leave? I just got here," I protested. "I'm honoring your staff. Don't you understand the magnitude of what Stacy represents?" But they weren't having it. Before I knew it, they were escorting me out of the building, rolling up my banner and handing it to me like some defeated general returning from battle. I didn't understand why they couldn't see what I was doing for their hospital. It wasn't just for Stacy. It was for America. Later that day, I heard the news that shook me to my core. Stacy had lost her job. Apparently, the hospital administration had decided that the ongoing disruptions tied to my visits were too much. They claimed her inability to manage the situation had made her position untenable. My heart sank. How could they do this to her? Stacy was a hero, a shining example of the hardworking American spirit, and they had cast her aside like she was nothing. I spent the evening pacing my living room, trying to process what had happened. It was a tragedy, a travesty, a complete miscarriage of justice. But then it hit me. This wasn't Stacy's fault, and it certainly wasn't mine. This was cancel culture at work. The globalists running that hospital couldn't handle the truth and had taken it out on Stacy. I wouldn't let her suffer alone. That's when I made my decision. I would extend a lifeline. Stacy needed a place where she could thrive, a place where her talents and dedication would be appreciated. And I had just the solution. My podcast. Sure, I didn't have the budget to pay her much. Okay, I didn't really have a budget at all. But I could find odd jobs for her to do. Maybe she could help me research topics or edit episodes. Or perhaps she could answer listener emails, filtering out the trolls. The possibilities were endless. I sat down and drafted a text message, pouring my heart into every word. "Stacy, I'm so sorry to hear about what happened at the hospital. You didn't deserve that. If you need a fresh start, I'd love to offer you a position on my podcast team. It's not much, but it's honest work, and I know we'd make a great team. Let me know what you think. Yours in freedom, Blake." As I hit send, I felt a renewed sense of purpose. Stacy might have lost her job, but I wasn't going to let her lose hope. Together, we'd build something incredible. A partnership rooted in truth, freedom, and the American way. And if she didn't see it yet, well, I had plenty of grand gestures left to convince her. When I heard Stacy had lost her job, I was devastated. Not for me, of course, but for her. Stacy was a hard-working, patriotic woman. Exactly the kind of nurse every hospital needed. How could they let her go? The injustice of it all was almost too much to bear. I sat down in my recliner, staring at the text I'd sent her hours ago. No response, but I wasn't worried. She was probably processing everything. After all, being fired over a misunderstanding, over my mission to inspire and honor her, wasn't something that could be brushed off lightly. My phone buzzed, and I lunged for it, hoping it was Stacy. It wasn't, just another spam email about extended warranties. Still, I held out hope. She'd reach out when the time was right. Meanwhile, I couldn't shake the feeling of betrayal. Stacy had been sacrificed at the altar of political correctness. Those hospital administrators had chosen order and rules over the truth, over freedom, over Stacy, and worst of all, over me. But as I sat there, I realized something important. This wasn't Stacy's fault, and it definitely wasn't mine. No, this was the work of the globalists. The same forces that were trying to erase American values, indoctrinate our kids, and replace real heroes with celebrities like Taylor Swift. They couldn't handle someone like me, a man willing to step into a hospital and challenge the status quo. And since they couldn't stop me, they went after Stacy. It was textbook cancel culture. I decided to channel my frustration into action. Stacy needed support now more than ever. And as someone who understands the weight of being unfairly targeted, I knew exactly what to do. I recorded an emergency episode of my podcast titled Cancel Culture in the Children's Ward, The Stacy Story. In it, I passionately defended Stacy, calling her a victim of a broken system that punishes good, hardworking Americans. I talked about her courage, her dedication, and her ability to inspire others, especially me. Folks, I said into the mic, my voice heavy with emotion, what happened to Stacy is a national tragedy. She didn't deserve this. All she did was her job. And for that, she's been silenced. This is what happens when you try to honor the truth in a world run by lies. But I'm here to tell you, they might have taken her job, but they'll never take her spirit. As the episode went live, I felt a swell of pride. I knew my listeners would rally behind her. Maybe they'd start a petition to get her reinstated. Maybe they'd flood the hospital's inbox with messages of support. Either way, Stacy would know she wasn't alone. She had me, and she had the entire Blake Winchester audience. Later that night, I got another idea. Stacy didn't need that hospital. She needed a new start. And who better to provide that than me? Sure, my podcast didn't exactly have a staff or a budget, but that was just a detail. Stacy could help me with research, edit audio, or even manage my merch store. The more I thought about it, the more perfect it seemed. She'd thrive in an environment where she was truly appreciated. I sent her another text. Stacy, I hope you're doing okay. Just wanted to let you know that my offer still stands. You'd be an incredible asset to the podcast, and I'd love to have you on board. Let me know if you're interested. Blake. I put my phone down and smiled, imagining how Stacy would react. She'd probably be overwhelmed with gratitude. After all, how many people get a chance to work side by side with someone who sees their potential and values their contributions? I couldn't wait to hear from her. As I sat back and reflected on everything, I felt a renewed sense of purpose. This wasn't just about Stacy anymore. It was about standing up to the forces that tried to tear us down. It was about proving that real Americans don't quit when the going gets tough. And most importantly, it was about showing Stacy that there's always a place for her in the fight for truth and freedom. Together, we'd make an unstoppable team, whether she realized it yet or not. As the dust settled, I couldn't help but feel a mix of pride and sadness. Stacy's journey at the hospital had come to an unfair end, but I knew this wasn't the final chapter for her or for us. What the hospital administrators saw as chaos, I saw as courage. What they viewed as disruption, I knew was destiny. Stacy had been thrust into this situation because of me, but not in a bad way. No, this was an opportunity for her to step into something greater. Stacy hadn't replied to my text yet, but I understood. She was probably overwhelmed, reflecting on how her life had taken such a dramatic turn. I was patient. After all, true partnerships take time to build. In the meantime, I started brainstorming all the ways she could contribute to my podcast. She could manage my inbox, coordinate merch shipments, or even vet callers for live episodes. Sure, I didn't really need the help. And no, I didn't have much of a budget. But that wasn't the point. This wasn't just a job offer. It was a lifeline. I recorded one last episode to close this chapter. Folks, we've seen the worst of cancel culture in action, I began, my voice steady and resolute. A brave nurse was forced out of her job because she dared to inspire others. But what the globalists don't realize is that you can't cancel the truth. You can't cancel freedom. And you certainly can't cancel Stacy. I ended with a heartfelt plea to my audience. If you're listening, Stacy, know this. You're not alone. The Blake Winchester Podcast is your new home. Together, will fight the good fight and build something that no hospital administrator or globalist can tear down. The offer stands. Come join me in the battle for America's soul. As I hit publish on the episode, I felt a surge of optimism. Stacy hadn't said yes yet, but I knew she would. She was too smart, too passionate, too patriotic to let this opportunity pass her by. And when she did, the world would see what a dynamic duo we could be. In my heart, I believed this wasn't just a story about Stacy losing her job. It was a story about rebirth, about standing up against injustice, and about two people, bound by truth and patriotism, coming together to change the world. This wasn't just another chapter in the book of cancel culture. It was the start of a revolution. Taylor Swift might have her Eras tour, but I had something better, the Stacy Era, and it was going to be incredible, a shining beacon of freedom, truth, and unwavering resolve. But things have taken an unsettling turn lately. I've noticed patrol cars driving by my place more frequently. At first, I thought it was just a coincidence, but now I'm starting to wonder, are they watching me? Are they trying to keep Stacy and me apart? It wouldn't surprise me. The powers that be will stop at nothing to silence those who speak the truth. What's next? A knock at my door? An investigation into my podcast? Still, I refuse to let fear win. This is bigger than me, bigger than Stacy. This is about America, about standing firm in the face of adversity. If the police or anyone else think they can intimidate me, they've got another thing coming. Let them watch. Let them listen. Because all they'll see is a man determined to fight for what's right. The Stacy era isn't just an idea. It's a movement. And no force on earth or beyond can stop it.
You've been listening to the Freedom Flame Podcast Network, where truth burns brighter than the lies of the mainstream. If you haven't subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? Real patriots don't hesitate. They take action. They stand tall. They hit that subscribe button like their freedom depends on it, because it does. Don't be the weak link in the chain of liberty. Subscribe now, or spend the rest of your days explaining why you let your country down when it needed you most. The Freedom Flame is watching. America is watching. Make the right choice now.